By some estimates, the video game industry today is worth more than $100 billion. And it's a male-dominated industry. The most recent study found that the people who work in gaming are nearly 90% male. Men are paid much more, and they've created a culture that's not very friendly to women. But because of those criticisms, the industry is making a concerted outreach to women. Systems like the Nintendo Wii appeal to families. Games have become increasingly driven by storylines with universal appeal. And let's face it, there are a lot of cooler female characters who aren't just sexy. Some of them are straight up tough. Well, to talk about the gaming gender gap, we're joined by Tasneem Raja. She's Mother Jones Magazine's interactive editor, and she sat down for a Skype conversation with KALW's Martina Castro.
You know, the recent discussion that was launched online about women in the video gaming industry that kind of spurred your article, start off by telling us how that discussion came about.
Sure. Early last week, Luke Crane, who works at Kickstarter, asked a really simple question on Twitter. He posed the question, why are there so few lady game creators? And it ended up sparking this really amazing and a very popular hashtag that was called Number One Reason Why. And it was female video game designers, video game developers, story writers, animators, coming forward with stories of vicious sexism that they faced on the job.
And when you say hashtag, just so for people who aren't Twitter users out there, that means that there was a discussion curated on Twitter about this concept. And what were some of the things that people said?
You know, it was really amazing. I was watching these tweets come through, and it ranged from very specific examples of things that had happened, such as one woman saying, you know, early in my career, I was really excited to go to one of the major industry conferences where people working in video games come together, and I was groped. Like, I was actually groped by one of the other conference attendees. One woman who's actually in hiring said, when we hired a female engineer at my company, I was skeptical. She's talented and awesome. I'm part of the problem. And one that I saw over and over again was just how boring it is to keep working on female game characters who are basically there to wear sexy outfits and sleep with the badass male hero.
Well, you actually wrote about this so-called programmer culture in parts of Silicon Valley in another article you wrote earlier this year. Unpack that for us. What is programmer culture?
So you're seeing a lot of people getting interested in computer science, programming, mobile applications, mobile gaming, who might not have considered programming and computer science or web design as a career path 10 or even 5 years ago. You know, thanks to the explosion of the way that we interact with this stuff in our day-to-day lives, right? And along with that, you're seeing a shift in what it means to be a geek, or a real desire among some people in the community to shift what it means to be a geek away from this, you know, stereotype of the under-socialized, you know, mouth-breathing nerd living in his parents' basement, right? Which was always a sort of useless stereotype to begin with. I'm happy to see that start to go away, but unfortunately, I think it's being replaced with this frat house mentality that, you know, an attempt to redefine geek as macho. And I think it's great to advertise these jobs as, like, you know, this is a fun environment, this is a social environment. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is a new form of exclusion happening, in which, you know, if you're not a young, straight, white, primarily white male who, you know, of a certain culture, then, you know, a lot of people who would be interested in these jobs are getting the message that it's not for them.
Interesting. And that's also sort of not keeping up with the reality of how gaming has grown beyond just being sort of something that little boys do, you know, when they're in their adolescent years, right? Give us a sense of what the demographic is today.
Yeah, you know, creating an exclusionary workplace in the video game industry isn't just bad for female developers and designers, it's bad business. You know, a 2005 study of the video game workforce revealed that more than 88% of the industry's employees are male. You know, just 11% are female. And, you know, the industry continues to cater to the supposed interests of teenage boys. But, you know, young boys actually make up only 18% of the game-playing crowd. 30% of gamers are adult women. And that's actually the industry's fastest-growing demographic.
So tell us about the typical female gamer. Like, what are the misconceptions out there about who these women are, and what's, like, her typical experience?
You know, I can't really speak to that as well because I stopped playing games in a serious way, around college. There were these really great titles that Lucas Games, that Lucas Arts Films actually put out starting around the mid 90s. There were just these really interesting, wacky, narrative, literary games in which, you know, it wasn't about being like a badass male. These weren't like first-person shooter games. These were almost like little mini movies that pulled in elements of, you know, film noir and murder mystery and a lot of unconventional plots and quests. And I was just thrilled by these. They had examples of some really great, hilarious, non-ditzy female characters. In response to Number One Reason Why, I was really excited to see a companion experiment start to play out on Twitter. There was this side conversation that bubbled up. People were using the term number one reason to be to say, okay, you know, in the number one reason why conversation, women are coming forward with stories of what sucks about being in video games. But number one reason to be is going to be about why women want to work in this industry. And it was women saying, you know, what could be cooler than getting to have a universe in your head and then actually build that universe and then invite other people in to play around and discover and explore and solve these really interesting problems that you've set up? So, you know, I'm disheartened by this idea that people are interested in creating fantasy worlds that are all about perpetuating our real world problems. I'm really excited by the idea that fantasy games can be a place where we can push the boundaries of what sucks about the real world and get to have a taste of what it would be like to exist in a parallel universe in which we get to grapple with more interesting problems. Problems that are more interesting than, you know, boys have to be macho and girls have to be sexy.